You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
I'm back in the saddle again.
I like the Aerosmith version a little bit better. John Carlson, right back here where I belong. Talk Radio 570 KVI. I missed Brittany. I missed Phil, Marina, and of course I missed you. Oh, here we go, Steven Tyler. Yeah. Want to thank Todd Herman, Chris Widener doing such a great job filling in while I was gone. Someone asked me, hey, why are you coming back on Friday? Why don't you just take that day off, too, and make it a full 2 weeks? I say, number one, because I was actually missing getting back in the action. Number two, hey, we are in the 2014 calendar year. Time to get busy. A lot of shows started back yesterday. And besides, today is a historic day. Boeing machinists going to decide the future of the Boeing Corporation and, frankly, manufacturing here in Washington State. I'll tell you who wrote a really good piece was Rob McKenna, unsuccessful candidate for governor, but that's okay. Some outstanding people have run for governor and fallen short here in this state. He wrote a piece that said, why don't we just take a step back and look at Boeing over the last dozen years or so. And he reminded people that it was back in 2001, Boeing shocked Seattle by announcing that it was going to move its corporate headquarters to either Dallas, Denver, or Chicago. Seattle wasn't even allowed to compete for where they would move their corporate headquarters. And the reason for that is that Boeing made it clear when they moved to Chicago that they wanted to be in an area where there weren't a lot of jobs so they could just focus, make their decisions purely on what was best for the health of the company and its shareholders, who are the ultimate owners of the company. And they didn't want to be distracted. And then 2 years later, Boeing announced a nationwide competition to build the 787. And it was thought that it was going to go anywhere but here. But what happened there is that the governor at the time, Gary Locke, and the legislature passed a series of bills on unemployment insurance, workers' comp, and tax breaks that resulted in Boeing making the decision to locate the 787 here. Harry Stonecipher, the then CEO, said that they'll build the 787 here. And let me be clear about this. As you know, I wanted to succeed Gary Locke after just one term rather than have him serve two terms. And I believe that he deserves credit for that 787 line being built here. And then comes a series of strikes and all the old bad feelings that have percolated here and there with the machinists union for decades, going back as far as I know to at least the 50s, surfaced, and Boeing decided to locate the second 787 assembly line in South Carolina. And it's moving engineering and consulting and science and other positions to other locales throughout the world. Not just the country, but the world. So now we're looking at the 777X. And what McKenna is saying is, if you just take a look back, can't you see the likelihood of Boeing building this elsewhere? If they don't get this contract extension, And the answer is, yeah. I mean, if you just look at the handwriting on the wall. So, yeah, his history lesson here hopefully will not be lost on the machinists who are voting. But, you know, some of these guys in the machinists, their whole life, they're not Boeing employees. They're machinist employees. They don't consider themselves part of Boeing. They consider themselves part of the machinist union. Very few of them are actual skilled machinists. They're assembly line workers. But they want, they see themselves first and foremost as members of the machinists. And some of them just, they bear an ongoing grudge against the company. They go to work in the morning not even liking the company they're working for, but they like the deal they've got with the machinists. So that's the background here. Now, one of these machinists did not like Como Four's coverage of the Boeing contract, and in that it would give some machinists, about 400 of them, $100,000 base pay. Let me underline that word, base. Base salary means what your salary is, not counting the dollar value of your health care plan, not counting the dollar value of your pension plan, not counting your VIP 401k, which is in addition to your pension. That's, and not counting overtime. That's just your base pay. This guy said, I take offense to Como Ford telling people Boeing workers will make over $100,000 a year. Jeff Burnside didn't do that. He said some workers would, and that is exactly what the Associated Press and other media outlets have been reporting, because it's true. He says he takes offense to the insinuation that Boeing machinists are overpaid. He said, do you fly in the air at 30,000 feet going 450 miles an hour? Do you feel safe? You should, because I machine the majority of the small parts that hold the wings together in every Boeing jet built for the last 20 years. We do it 24 hours a day right in Auburn for the 737 and 777. When I board a Boeing 737-900ER like I did with my family just before Christmas this year, I swell with pride. He says, I feel safe. I helped build this Boeing jet. I say to whoever is there. Sometimes the stewardess thanks me for the beautiful Boeing. Sometimes the captain pipes up and asks if I want to see the cockpit. They always say Boeings fly the best. So this guy is a journeyman machinist. He's got 30 years in, and he's rightfully proud of the work that Boeing has done. He says, I helped put my company in the position it's in, record profits, record sales, record CEO compensation. There's thousands of guys like me at Boeing. We just want to share in the success, not to be belittled as overpaid old union thugs out of touch with the modern world. We spent our entire lives in the factory toiling away with the company and the flying public. These are not simple automobiles. The Boeing jet you fly is the pinnacle of human endeavor. The only greater vehicle for human transportation is the space shuttle. So I ask, the next time you fly in a Boeing jet, do you want me, the journeyman machinist with 30 years experience building those wings like I have for over 20 years, or do you want Joe Bob and all the new hires who make minimum wage? Sincerely, I won't use his full name. It's William, and he's been a machinist since 1982. Okay. Here's what I would say to William. I said, you've been toiling at Boeing all these years. It would probably be good for you to spend 1 month looking around at the rest of the economy and realize just how unusual your compensation is and how lucky you are to have it. Secondly, the people who would otherwise work at Boeing would not be doing minimum wage work. The people doing this work in South Carolina are working for less, much less, than what Boeing pays you. And they've had some problems, but within 5 years, those problems are going to be solved, and that line's going to be functioning just fine. Boeing can build the 777 just about anywhere else in America for less money. Let me say that again. Boeing can build. Boeing says if you agree with this contract, they will build it here. But Boeing could probably build it cheaper just about anywhere else. It's just they would have some built-in advantages to doing it here. The infrastructure's already there. Well, they'd have to build a huge facility for the wing work. The composite work on the wing, and that's an exciting new addition to Boeing. But I'm looking at the healthcare plan that Boeing workers have. I don't see many healthcare plans that match what you would get if you vote for this contract extension. In fact, your dental plan actually gets better. I'm looking at the retirement plan. The retirement plan's pretty good, even with the revision, and they maintain the VIP program, which is a 401k in addition to the 401k. Let's get to the phones here. Kevin calling. Is that true? We have a...
Well, because I'm from Seattle.
You are calling from Istanbul, Turkey?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're listening online. All right. And I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part of what you were saying. You have worked at Boeing?
I worked at Boeing from 89 to 93. I was in there for quite some time on the 46 section of the 747 line.
All right.
I tell you this, you do the same thing every 4 to 8 days. It's really redundant. You can train a monkey to do what they do, and that's probably the primary reason why I left. They have it so good. They don't realize how good they got it compared to other people that actually do maintain the aircraft. That's why I was laughing when you said, "Do you feel good when the aircraft's at 41,000 feet?" I did that. Well, that's great. You did that initially, but there's a whole lot of skilled people at the airline, avionics technicians, structure technicians, A&P mechanics that keep that aircraft going day in and day out. They work for airlines and right across the way there at used to be B.F. Goodrich Aerospace. Mm-hmm. They maintain those aircraft, not the guys at Boeing. Those guys that do the maintenance, the C&D checks, make about $21 an hour. And for some guys at Horizon starting out, they make $14 an hour. They would love to get what they get at Boeing, but they don't. They have it so good at Boeing, they have no idea.
You know,
I left.
Yeah.
I wanted to advance my career. And now I'm over here training the Turkish Navy how to maintain their Sikorsky helicopter. And it does pay a lot more than what they make at Boeing, but it took me 20 years to get here. These guys are making close to $100,000 a year after about 7, 8, 9, 10 years of work there.
Yeah,
nobody
this is...
in the Puget Sound area makes that kind of wage, Carlson. You know this. Not for what they do.
Okay, so if it is as easy to train these workers as you were saying, why hasn't Boeing located its work elsewhere years ago?
They have. They've relocated those people in South Carolina. Those kids are up to par. They just those guys are getting $14, $15, $16 an hour there in Charleston, North Charleston. But they bring guys like me in mm-hmm. and or friends of mine in to train them on how to do it. You understand, they put kids right out of high school and off the street into a 6-week skills process center, train them how to do rivets, Hilox, and all that other stuff, and then they go into another place to learn blueprints and sealing. After about 8 weeks, you're an assembler. 8 weeks of training. How many people can go through about 8 weeks of training and then hop into a job just like that? Not too many. some people it takes 18 months or longer to get an AMP license to work for the airline.
Let me, and your point about the people who maintain, the mechanics, the service personnel, the people who maintain airplanes for the airlines get paid a fraction of what machinists make.
It's a
wonderful point, and I haven't heard it made. And I want to read this for our listeners, too. Again, this from the Associated Press. The lowest level machinists, a grade one workers, currently start at $25,000 a year, but within 6 years, their pay rises from $25,000 a year to about $66,000 a year. That's after 6 years.
At Alaska Airlines or Horizon Airlines, who actually maintain and their license and their, you know, they're responsible for that aircraft when it's flying passengers. Boeing isn't, because once it's passed to get once it's passed on to the customer, it's there with it's the right. AMP technician who works for the airline's responsibility. Ask them what they make. They don't make really what Boeing workers make.
Kevin, great call. I appreciate you listening, especially all the way from Istanbul, Turkey. Appreciate you listening to the program. Have a great one. I think that's our first call from the nation of Turkey. How about that? The virtues of online listening. All right. Your phone calls also welcome here at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757 outside King County. 1-888-312-5757. The John Carlson Show. KVI.